God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Thank you, friends, for being with us. This is Pastor Larry at Southwest Radio Church. I must say, if you want to hear a racist statement, I've got one right in front of me. A co-founder of the Black Lives Matter chapter in Toronto wrote in a now-deleted Facebook post that, quote, "White people are a genetic defect of blackness," close quotes. I'm referencing a statement made by Yusra Kogali in 2016. She further stated, "White people are recessive genetic defects. This is factual," close quote. So, hello all of you white recessive genetic defects, and I'm one too. Well, now, all kidding aside, this is tragic. It's disgusting. It underscores one of the problems I have with the Black Lives Matter movement. It's not really interested in black lives. It's not really interested in helping black people. Its real focus is to destroy America by creating confusion, racial turmoil, and trying hard to make sure President Trump is not reelected for a second term. Racism is bad, whether it is a racist white person, black person, or any other skin color. Racism is condemned. We don't need racism, and we don't need racists. Thank God for Jesus Christ, for his ministry to the Samaritan woman, and for all the millions of lives he has changed, black, white, whatever. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful for those many pastors who, whatever their skin color, teach the sanctity of all human life. Do we really appreciate America? Looking at all the angry people in different states telling the world how bad we are, I have one suggestion. They need to move out and go home, wherever that is. Is everything in our history nice? No, it's not. However, we don't change our history, we learn from it. I remember Michael Moore telling everyone if Donald Trump gets elected, he is leaving the country. Well, the last time I checked, Michael Moore is still in America. Our guest is Pastor Billy Crone. Pastor Billy Crone has done a lot of good videography and commentary and also written several books. He has a new DVD, which is a winner, What Made America So Great. Pastor Billy, thank you for this amazing video, and thank you for being with us once again.
Thank you, Dr. Spartamino. It's always great to be on.
So tell us some of the things that made America so great.
Well, if you can do a synopsis on the whole study, hopefully this is about as blunt as you can get. It's called Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's Jesus, God, the Bible, Christianity, the foundations of our country. We're certainly a Judeo-Christian ethic. And that's what we deal with, and we deal with the evidence of that, historical evidence, our own history as a Christian nation from the Founding Fathers. And we've been lied to. We've been horribly lied to as a people, as a church. And you mentioned about history. You know, it reminds me also of the other axiom about history, that those who don't learn it, you're doomed to repeat it. And many people don't realize that it was because of a tyranny and being under the hands of oppression, even religious, i.e. Christian oppression, from England that was going on at the time, where the government was dictating what religion you were going to follow. Were you going to be Catholic or were you going to be Protestant? You know, depending on the king or ruler that rose up, they were going to dictate. And our Founding Fathers came out of that environment, and when they founded our nation, that's why we have things like the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution, based on biblical principles. And it is not by chance that not the 10th Amendment, not the 100th Amendment, if you will, the very First Amendment they said that we are going to guarantee in our brand new country, especially coming out from what we came out of, is the right for the freedom of religion and the freedom of press, but another one, the right to freely assemble. And all of that, Dr. Spargimino, is being attacked in our country as we speak. And it's time for us, the church, to wake up, and that's, in a nutshell, kind of what the study's about.
Well, that's so good to hear. Should we be proud of America?
Well, I mean, certainly I had the privilege to speak around the world. And I'll tell you what, I'm not saying that our country's perfect. And unfortunately, there's signs of us turning away from our Judeo-Christian ethic and our Christian morals and values and the foundations that our Founding Fathers set up in the Bible and on God. But, man, compared to other countries, have fun. I mean, right now we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are literally being murdered. Their homes are being bulldozed. Their churches are being torn down, the buildings, the structures. They're under persecution where if you meet together, we will kill you. I mean, this is really going on. In fact, there's been more persecution last century on Christians than ever in the history of the church, and it's ramping up. So I'm not saying, again, we're perfect, and we're certainly doing a moral slide, and I think that's sad. But I'm telling you, as one guy said, we're the last vestige, Dr. Spargimino, our country. And if America turns completely away from our Christian, Judeo-Christian background and ethics, it's over. It's toast, which doesn't surprise me because we know also what the Bible says is coming next on God's prophetic timeline. The next event on his timeline is the rapture of the church, and the church is out of here. Now, you remove us, the restraining influence, via the Holy Spirit and presence in the church. Man, you think the world's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. And it's going to get horrible. It's called the seven-year tribulation. Jesus said it's going to be the worst time in the history of mankind. But me, I like to be the eternal optimist. And, you know, maybe God has one last revival up his sleeve, even for our country. And I think that's the biblical mindset we need to have. You say, oh, it's just too late for America. It's impossible. No, it's not. Read your Bible. Didn't God bring revival to Nineveh? Now, granted, they still went out of existence, but they had a revival.
Yeah, I think they lasted for about 150 years until the time of Nahum.
Exactly, but you see God's mercy even on that nation. Now, if any nation was wicked, man, do the study. Nineveh was, man, they were not just wicked, they were barbaric. In fact, a lot of the reasons why the people, when they would go invade the nations, why they would just immediately surrender when they see the Ninevites coming, is because of how brutal they were. And they wouldn't just impale people, which later the Romans perfected and turned into the crucifixion, but they would impale people, but they would literally chop their noses off, their ears off, and they would put noses, you know, in their faces and drag them off into captivity. It was horrible. So when you heard that the Ninevites were coming, man, you're just like, oh boy, do we really want to do this? But again, their behavior, but what happened? God still sent revival. Why? Because he still has mercy. What's the Bible say? God is not willing that any should perish. He's not putting up with this evil. He's not condoning the evil, whether it's the Ninevites, whether it's our own country, whether it's our wicked world system. He wants people to be saved. And what we, the church, need to be doing in this final hour is not shrinking back in fear and certainly not giving in to apathy. This is our time to be unlike Jonah and get busy declaring the mercies of God, because people can still get saved. He could still bring a revival to our nation. We don't know. Right? But if we don't preach Christ, it'll never happen. And in fact, this is an interesting study. If you ever take a look at revival, when you take a look at the scripture, when it happens, okay, I think the church has got it totally backwards to her own detriment. And we wonder why we don't see revival. Well, it says there in Chronicles, it says there, if my people, now stop and think about it, who's that? Of course, the context is the Jewish people, but it's God's people, right? So revival is not meant for the world, in essence. The revival starts with the church. Then it moves on to the world. And so what we do is we get the cart before the horse. When we pray, even if we get around to praying for revival, what do? We go, oh, God, get those people out there, man, those wicked people, I tell you what, you know. And yet we are being hypocrites, right, and with logs in our own eye, and we're not cleaning up. You know, you look at the statistics of the church, half of the church doesn't even believe in the authority of the scripture. Right? Almost half the church is now going along with homosexuality and other kinds of politically correct issues and things of that nature. And just go on down the list of wicked behaviors. We ain't looking much different than the world. We have lost our salt and our light. And God says, if my people, the church, you do it first, okay? You pray, you humble yourself first, then pray, then seek God's face, and what? Turn from your own wicked ways. And when the church turns from their own wicked ways, when you get your heart right with God, then it'll bust out into the world, right? And it could happen, but we get it all wrong. Or we do what Jonah did. And we know that Jesus Christ is the answer to the ills of our society. We know that it's preaching and proclaiming Christ is the step in revival busting across after we get our hearts right with God across our nation. But we're like Jonah. It's like, I ain't going to witness those people. You know, I don't care about them. You know, let them go to hell. It's like, excuse me? You need to do a historical check in your own heart. Don't you remember what it was like before you got saved? Right? Were any of us worthy to receive God's grace and mercy? Were any of us worthy to walk into heaven on our own? Absolutely not. And aren't you glad that somebody, even as dark and cantankerous and nasty, at least I was, to people who tried to witness to me, aren't you glad they still did it? Well, then we need to do the same thing in kind and get busy. But again, it's a clarion call, Dr. Spargimino, to church, wake up. We're in the final throes. of God's prophetic timeline, and we need to finish strong, and we need to get back to the solution that will turn our country around if a revival is going to happen, and that is Jesus Christ. And until we get back to that, nothing's going to change, and it's only going to get worse.
I'm really amazed at our country. You know, when I look at our history, there's so much of revival, the first great awakening, the second great awakening, the third great awakening. And just, for example, George Washington, he was an amazing man. I mean, we've lost so much. I know he was an Anglican, but he believed in Jesus as Lord. He believed in the Trinity, believed in morality. He said, if a people are not moral, you can't rule them. And you know, today, I think so many of our young people, they go to school, history is being rewritten. You talk to a lot of young people, they don't understand what's going on. They really don't. In fact, they like socialism because, well, it sounds like, you know, social media. We can all get together and have a good time.
Yeah, well, you call it socialism, liberalism, what do you want? It's old-fashioned communism, exactly what it is, folks. And that's, you know, you look at in the 40s and 50s, and you got this rise of communism, the concerns, and McCarthy in that area there, and you're like, oh, boy, good thing they took care of that communism that tried to infiltrate America. Folks, what do you think is happening to our country? It's the same attack. They've just changed the terminology. They don't call it communism because we'd freak out. They just call it socialism. And guess what? Those that were promoting that in the 50s and 60s, they didn't go away. They went into our secular school system. They hijacked the universities in our school system, let alone Hollywood and the media, that also influences the brains of people. And they've been proclaiming communism. Why do you think, and this freaked me out, I just came across this, Dr. Spargimino, 2 weeks ago. But this was a little nugget I discovered in the hearings in Congress when they were interviewing Mark Zuckerberg. And for him putting a clamp on our First Amendment rights, you know, with Facebook and social media platforms, et cetera. And just in that blip, one of the guys was sharing with Mr. Zuckerberg his concern that 40%, listen to this, 40% of Americans, younger Americans, believe that the First Amendment is dangerous. Now, where is that coming from, folks? That's coming from the sewer pipe called the secular education system. It's been taken over, and they've been producing this mindset. Okay, we laugh about it, joke about it, but it's not funny. This is why our whole parental life, my wife and I, have homeschooled our kids. And because we couldn't stomach throwing our kids to the wolves. And it isn't just to the wolves. And it isn't just the immoral, ungodly behavior. And it isn't just the immoral, ungodly things that they're teaching. But it's this mindset of communism, and as they say, the humanists who are behind it are saying, they're laughing at us. They're saying, we are using the secular educational system to prepare your kids for the New World Order. Folks, it's in print. They admit it. And yet, week after week, you keep sending your kids back, and read your Bible, parents. You're going to stand accountable to God. Now, the good news is, even with this virus time, guess what a lot of people are doing?
Reading their Bible.
They're reading their Bibles, and they're also getting their kids out of school.
Yes, they're taking
first of all, because they have to, but they realize, you know what? I can actually pull this off. I can homeschool. Yeah. Well, guess what? Even long gone after this virus, how about just keep them out? And how about give them a good, godly, biblical education and turn this around? But you had mentioned the Founding Fathers of George Washington. Hey, this is what this study's about. We get into the hardcore historical proof. We quote our Founding Fathers, people like John Adams, John Quincy Adams, Patrick Henry, John Jay, Benjamin Rush, Noah Webster. You mentioned George Washington. Clearly evidence that they were building our country on God, the Bible, Jesus, and Christianity. In fact, let me quote this from, this is the Congress U.S. House Judiciary Committee in 1854. Listen to this. They even said that if anybody ever comes along and says that our country was not built on the principles of Christianity, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Watch this. They said, had the people during the Revolutionary War, had a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, that revolution would have been strangled in its cradle. In this age, there can be no substitute for Christianity. Listen, that was the religion of the founders of the Republic, and they expected it to remain the religion of their descendants. Folks, that's our heritage, and we've been lied to. Let me give you one more example. This one blew me away, and again, one of our presidents. Imagine if you had a president today that was doing this, and this is from President James A. Garfield. Okay, he was a young major general in the Civil War, and he became Speaker of the House, and then he became the 20th president of the United States. Okay, now what most people don't realize about him is that he was a minister. You mentioned revivals, Dr. Spargimino. He was a minister during the Second Great Awakening. In fact, in one of his letters, signed by President Garfield in 1858, he recounts that, quote, he just finished preaching a revival service where he preached the gospel 19 times in the revival. He said as a result of his preaching that 34 folks came to Christ and he baptized 31 of them. And I like what one guy said. He says, listen, now that doesn't sound like a typical presidential activity today. He said, but that's what we used to have as presidents in the past. And he says, we've so compartmentalized Christianity in a small box, the society has done it, that we don't realize that our military leaders, our ministers, our educators in our American history, our ministers, our presidents used to be ministers, on and on again. Okay? And again, folks, this is part of the reprogramming that has been done. Our history has been rewritten. Our American history that's been founded on godly biblical principles, they're now saying is a threat. And we wonder why everything's falling apart, it seems.
Well, as I look at COVID-19, it is real. Some people die, but it's kind of, when you read about the casualties, it's kind of directed toward those who are older. It's not very serious for young people, yet we close schools. We do everything to destroy the country. And I see another tragedy on the horizon. You know, there's this huge dust cloud that's supposedly coming from the Sahara. It's going to come, and it's going to come toward us. And I can just see the left-wing media getting on the air and say, well, it's President Trump's fault, and there's poison gas, or there's bugs in it, or some kind of a virus. Everything is being done to undermine any attempt to get us back to the Bible. Now, President Trump has some, you know, really rough spots, no question about it. But I think his core values, as a Christian, I'm going to vote for someone who has his core values. That's non-negotiable for me.
Well, exactly. And to me, it's a nutshell. I say all the time, I'm not saying that I have drunk the Kool-Aid with President Trump. I'm not here to defend everything that he does morally. But to me, as a Christian, what do I do? I, from man's perspective, God knows the timeline, how much time is left here on planet Earth for the church. But what I'm trying to focus on as a Christian is who is going to give me more time from man's perspective to do what God has called me to do. And when you take a look at that and you put it in that biblical parameter, which is how we should as Christians, it's a hands-down vote. I mean, you look at the Democrat Party, they stand for, I'm not saying Trump is perfect, but look at the alternative. The Democrat Party, the Liberal Party, is anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Bible. They're also pro-death. They want to kill children. I mean, how could you as a Christian go to sleep at night and you put your vote for that?
It's shocking. Yeah, I don't see how it's possible because, you know, it's a question of loyalty. If you're a Christian, you're loyal to Christian principles and to those who love Jesus. And certainly the DNC last August in San Francisco, they actually said, we're the party of unbelief. We're appealing to atheists and secularists. Well, friends, Pastor Billy Crone will be back with us for our next broadcast. He will continue speaking about his new DVD, What Made America So Great. Be sure to tell a friend. This is a very, very important subject. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners about our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer is the new DVD by Billy Crone titled What Makes America Great Again. If you know Billy Crone, you know all his materials are first rate. You can have your own copy for a gift of $15 if you live in the United States and $25 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order on our website at swrc.com. We also have the best-selling book by Pastor Robert Jeffress titled Praying for America. And we all know we need it. You can have a copy for a gift of $22. Better yet, get both the DVD, What Makes America Great Again, and the book, Praying for America, for a gift of $32. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
A statue of the influential black abolitionist Frederick Douglass, who was born in slavery, was toppled in Rochester, New York, where Douglass is buried. The site of the statue includes part of the famed Underground Railroad, where Douglass, Harriet Tubman, and others helped slaves gain freedom. The statue was left leaning against a fence about 50 feet from its pedestal. Leaders of a group called Re-Energize the Legacy of Frederick Douglass said they are shocked. This is all that is left at this particular moment of a monument that we put so much work and thought and love and care into, said a member of the group.
11 years before the Emancipation Proclamation declared all slaves in Confederate territory free, Douglass made it clear his fight was the fight of America's original founders, who affirmed that all men and women are created equal. Concerning the founders, Douglass said, quote, "They were statesmen, patriots, and heroes, and with them, justice, liberty, and humanity were final, not slavery and oppression." Douglass, who became a Christian minister and later an advisor to President Abraham Lincoln, chastised Christians and churches that supported the institution of slavery, calling out their hypocritical, selective outrage.
Retired Lieutenant Colonel Allen West, a former Florida Republican congressman, slammed left-wing protesters for their latest act of public vandalism, this time against the statue of Frederick Douglass. West told Bill Hemmer Reports that the attack on Douglass shows the protesters have no grasp of American history or even what their end goal is. West praised Douglass as a true leader of the civil rights movement. West also blamed the sad state of American public education as part of the reason the protesters appear to be so ignorant. Quote, "Once upon a time, we did teach history and we did teach civics, and then it was replaced by this thing called social studies, which is just whatever cultural or ideological agenda is prevalent in the day," West said.
West also noted that protesters have also vandalized the Boston Memorial to the 54th Massachusetts Regiment, the story of which was chronicled in the 1989 Matthew Broderick, Denzel Washington film, Glory.
"I would venture to say that most of the protesters know very little about American history and even less about our founding principles. I wonder what they know about the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution."
Pastor Larry, it's a great tragedy that we have so many young people in America who are not at all thankful for what America has given them. We are far from perfect, but we have a system of government that allows us to work on our deficiencies and shortcomings. So many of our young people have no idea why we celebrate July 4th. For them, it's just another opportunity to party. They love socialism because they don't really know much about socialism. They hate America because that's what their teachers have taught them. It's time for that to stop. God have mercy on our young people and on their parents who are willingly ignorant of what is happening in their children's classrooms.
There was an interesting commentary on current events in the Washington, D.C. Catholic News Agency report on June 23rd. According to a U.S. Department of Justice letter to Mayor Bill de Blasio, DOJ officials, Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights Eric Dryband, and Attorney Matthew Schneider of the Eastern District of Michigan say he is out of order by restricting religious gatherings but not mass public protests. They are overseeing the U.S. DOJ's monitoring of state and local policies related to the COVID epidemic. Mayor de Blasio's recent public statements and enforcement of COVID-19 orders have demonstrated a troubling preference for certain First Amendment rights over others, they said on June 22nd. The Justice Department is glad de Blasio will now permit greater religious exercise and will continue to monitor New York City's reopening to ensure that New York City extends the same respect to the freedom of religion, both in terms of indoor and outdoor gatherings, as it does to the freedoms of speech and assembly. New York City had vigorously enforced restrictions on religious gatherings, including by sending police officers to disperse numerous gatherings of the Jewish community, including outdoor funerals. At the same time, Mayor de Blasio marched in large in-person political gatherings concerning the recent tragic death of George Floyd and made statements suggesting, in a manner forbidden by the First Amendment, that religious exercise was less valued and protected by New York City than political exercise. The New York City mayor's move to Phase 2 of the city's reopening plan began on June 21st. The phase allows houses of worship to open to 25% of their indoor capacity. The mayor's executive orders and emergency orders had barred all gatherings larger than 10 persons. At the same time, his June 1st press release voiced his commitment to support and protect peaceful protest. He allowed thousands of New Yorkers to demonstrate and took part in a June 14th protest. The First Amendment protects religious observers against unequal treatment. Government may not discriminate against religious gatherings compared to other non-religious gatherings that have the same effect on the government's public health interest, absent compelling reasons, said Dryban's letter. In light of your support for and participation in recent protests in New York City, the message to the public from New York City's government appears to favor certain secular gatherings and disfavor religious gatherings, said Dryban. Concerns, as you likely know, have been raised in the faith community that New York City is acting to protect certain First Amendment expressions over others, which the Constitution forbids, said Dryband. Enforcement of executive orders or emergency orders should respect both the right of your residents to assemble, to express their views on a diverse spectrum of topics, and the right to practice their faith. Compliance with the First Amendment is not optional, and that amendment protects both free exercise of religion and assembly rights, said the letter. Mr. de Blasio, you need to consider John 7:24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Excellent program, gentlemen. If you missed any of it or you want to listen to it again, just go to our website at swrc.com and click on the Listen tab. If you would like to order our special offer today, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you would like to write and place an order, or if you just have a question or comment, just send your letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. Thanks for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.